Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for your love, Lord, your grace, your work, and the things that you you lead us to, Lord. We walk by faith and not by sight, and we love you, and we praise you, Lord. We thank you for all the things that you do in and through our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay. Well, behind me, we'll be having a picture slideshow, so if you find I'm boring, you can just tune into that. All right. There won't be any sound, hopefully, so. But anyways. All right. So why am I here? Seth is gone, obviously, and I am. He asked me to kind of go over a recap of my trip to Mexico, my family's trip to Mexico, and encouraging the church, walking by faith and answering the call and doing that. And so last year, actually since 2009, my wife and I, we were engaged at the time, and we decided to start going to Mexico, and we went to Mexico almost every year since for the week-long missions trip that Calvary Chapel Fargo has. And every time we're down there, Ron says, you should come again, me and my wife. You should come again, but just you and your wife. You should stay here longer. You should stay for a year. You should stay for a month. You know, always saying that. Well, this last year, he finally got us. He, in a more serious way, he approached my wife at the end of last year's Mexico missions trip and asked her, hey, we have this place, Carmen Cerdan, and there are horses that we're planning on getting. Would you be able to train these horses or train people on how to train horses and all that? And my wife knows, if you don't know my wife, she knows a lot about horses. And he asked us to pray. And so I took that back home, and we prayed. And I guess I'm going to start by just opening up with scripture here. Hebrews 11, verse 6. And then after that, I'll share 2 Corinthians 5:7 as well. But Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so we diligently sought in prayer. And Second Corinthians 5, verse 7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And so this this trip that we went on, and this trip is marked by 3 points, really. As the Lord led us through this, there were three main themes, and it was faith, hope, and love. And anyone who knows 1 Corinthians 13 knows faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. I want to share what God showed me throughout this entire trip. Faith in action. How he works when you're moving. You see, God chooses to work through instruments called people. And if you see something, and you're praying for something to happen, it's like, how can God move? How can God do anything if there's nobody who's going to step up to answer that call of God? He uses people as his instruments. And if he has no instrument willing to step up and do something, he can do anything. But my encouragement is answer that call and see what the Lord is going to do, how he's going to move through you. He invited us. Ron invited us. How long? How long were we going to do this? Was it 3 months? Was it a half a year? Was it a whole year? Was it just 1 month? How long was this going to be? Would we go or would we stay? And we needed to pray. And we took the biblical decision making on the Calvary Chapel website. We took that and we went through it and we prayed. And the conclusion that we came to was, or the conclusion I came to, is either we go by faith or we stay in Fargo and not go and wonder for the rest of our lives what would have happened if we went. And at that, it's, how could we not go? We had to go at that point. And it wasn't a guesswork like, Lord, would you send me? Lord, I don't know if this is you. I don't know. It was, how could we not go? So God, before we went, he needed to do a work in my heart, and he was faithful to do that. And he reshaped my faith. He reshaped how I approached the Word of God. And he gave me the capacity to understand and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit moment by moment. And Sarah and I, once he did this reforming in me, Sarah and I began to work on the vision of this trip. And we prayed much. People in the congregation prayed much for us to go. And Ron, the pastor who invited us, he was difficult to get a hold of. And so we weren't really sure what we were getting into. But we realized as the little conversations that we had, he wasn't going to have horses by the time we got down there. So we changed our prospective trip, what we thought we were going to do, and we started looking at, okay, what does a horse need? And we looked for fencing. Horses need fencing, they need water, they need shelter. And so that became the focus of our trip. And Ron confirmed this. He said he didn't have horses. In fact, he didn't have a place to put horses. He had no land. He didn't know where this was even going to happen. He had one of three places to put these horses. But as we were planning it, and we walked out in faith, and we started buying the fencing. We started buying the electric fence and everything, not even knowing where these horses were going to be put, or if Ron was even going to buy horses. He says he's going to buy horses. See, this is a work by faith. Psalm 37, verse 23 says, "The steps of a man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way." And so as we walked by faith, God blessed our steps of obedience. Every single step of obedience, God was there, and it was like we would worry, we would act, and then God would come alongside and say, "Why were you worried? It's an open door." And God ordered all of our decisions. There was no guesswork when it came down to it. We thought there was a lot of guesswork, but once it was passed, it was like, wow, that was a clear path. And we acted by faith, and the details directed our steps. And the Holy Spirit is always faithful to his word. And as I said, there were three places in Carmen, Sudan. Carmen, Sudan is like a little tiny community, and I'll call the place that we were going to be at was called called the ranch. And there were three places that Ron was thinking of putting horses. One was either at the ranch, but there was no place really to put horses at the ranch, or by his house that he bought in Carmen, Sudan. And he didn't really know how that was going to work. And then there was a third option. The ex-president of the community had a plot of land that he could have rented an area for the horses to be in, and that was the information that we had going down. We didn't have any more information than that, other than we were going to stay at Carmen, Sudan. So with that information, we went. We purchased the items, believing by faith, and we went. And many of the people in our congregation, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, people praying for us, sending us verses, sending us prophecy. We weren't going alone. We were going with the Holy Spirit. And that was a for sure thing. And before we left, we had hands laid upon us. And there was a few things that were clear to me as we went. One was, this is not to glorify ourselves. This isn't like we're all that in a bag of chips, right? So we are simply tools. As I said in the beginning, we are simply tools that the Master can use. And this wasn't something that we could turn around and say what spiritual giants we are by going out by faith. This was God wanted tools, and we we're available to answer that. And so, let's sum this up. We set off as a family, my wife, myself, our 5-year-old son. We packed the car with all kinds of tools, not knowing what we were going to do. We drove 2,000 miles, 4 days, several bathroom breaks, amongst people who are in a different country, not knowing a language, to build a horse fence. Glorious work. So if we try to logic the work of the Holy Spirit, we will end up sounding insane, by the way. Paul says he sounded beside himself in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 13, "For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. And if we are of sound mind, it is for you." It was clear from the beginning of our work to go to Carmenserdam. This was not merely to build a horse fence, right? What we believed at the time was this was a work that God was going to use in the future. Because what was that horse fence for? It was for the ranch, which was, Ron had his vision for the ranch to become a youth rehab place where the youth would come in. If they're on drugs, they would get off drugs. They would go there outside the city of Tijuana, and they would learn how to work. They would learn skills, how to take care of honeybees, how to take care of horses. He'll put them to work, and they'll learn valuable skills. That is the vision for this ranch in the future. And so us coming down there, we're not going down there to share the gospel or to preach like Billy Graham. We're there to build a horse fence. It sounds little, but in the grand scheme of things, this is God working step by step by step. And there has been past missions trips where our group has stayed in Carmenserdam, and that was a step. And just this building of what the Lord is doing in Mexico with the various churches and stuff. So we were just a small part of it. And yet God still, when we were down there, he showed me even more of what he was doing. And it was like, wow, that wasn't enough. God was doing even more. And so we left. On the first morning, we woke up, and the verse that I was thinking of, we were going to drive into the mountains the next day, and the verse the Lord showed me was, I got my mind wrapped around, his righteousness is like the mighty mountains. And I was thinking about that, and then it's like faith to move mountains. It's like, I've never seen this verse this way before, that God's righteousness is impossible to move. It's impossible to pick it up and put upon myself. It is his grace that puts his righteousness on us. It's by faith, believing in Jesus Christ, that he is the Christ, that he paid for my sin, that his righteousness is imparted to us, and how we can walk in that and be sons and daughters of God, and we can be called to these things and used by him. And then, yes, that other part of that verse, faith to move mountains, that we would go and there's nothing, God is going to be providing everything. If we're walking in faith, there's nothing to even worry about. He showed us that he has the yoke, and as we take on that yoke, he will plow with us. And so the Lord was meeting us every morning as a family. And then also in Matthew 17, verse 20, and Jesus said to them, "Yeah, because of your unbelief, for verily I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible for you." And just that idea of that mountain being moved. And God wasn't used done with that verse. Hold on to that verse. That was a really cool thing that God showed us in that. But so I received these verses by the Holy Spirit in my devotion time that morning. And God's righteousness, yeah, I explained that. Moving on my notes, sorry. So Sarah also received verses as we traveled and as well. And we both built up our faith and Arrow's faith as we traveled. Psalm 37, verse 5, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shall you dwell in the land, and verily you shall be fed. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, and trust in him, and he will bring it to pass. And she also shared the word that his goodness is known. Take up the yoke with him. We were there to labor with him. It was at that time on that trip that I got sick. And God really had to pull that yoke because I was having a very hard time pulling a yoke, continuing on with that trip. But then the Lord healed me. And then the central theme to our trip, another aspect of our trip that became a central theme, it wasn't the central theme, but Proverbs 16, verse 9, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. The preparations have been made both in work and in heart, and we were there to go and do. So after we arrived, God showed me the true work that he was doing. Galatians 5, 22 verse, through 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And so the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I was like, okay, we're here. And I encourage my family, we're here to have the fruit of the Holy Spirit emit from our lives. We're building a fence. Don't miss the people. And he showed us, he's going to meet all our provisions. There's no reason to be worried about that. And but when we arrived, there was still no land. Still no word from the ex-president of Carmen Sudan saying what we were doing. Ron was trying to communicate with him, and he wasn't answering. And Ron also told us, and we were there, we were going to hit the ground running, we were going to start working. And Ron said, yeah, it's the week before Easter. There's nothing open. We can't really do much work. And so it was like we were there, and we're like, what do we do? And so the Lord showed us, okay, together, Sarah and I agreed that we would continue to walk by faith. And at that time, we started purchasing the items we needed. God showed himself in a very powerful way in the beginning. He showed me pray for the surroundings of Carmen Sudan. And the wisdom of that, he showed me right away that I would be familiar with the town and what's around us. And so I started praying for the area, and I had fear of driving in Mexico, and so being able to know where we were going. And then one morning we woke up and the power was out. Well, now what do? We don't have power. Let's go into the United States and buy a couple of things, a horse gate and a water trough for the horse. And it was like everything that was happening was guiding us. The Lord was using our hands. And many people can look at these and like, oh my goodness, what is going on? But as you're in the Holy Spirit and you see these things, it's like, well, it's obvious. This is what we're supposed to do today. And then the family that took care of the grounds, they were also a big help in learning where everything is. The father, Shori, his wife, his brother, William, was there, his two sons, his two daughters, and his newborn baby. They all lived in a house probably 20, they got a new house since last time, so it was like 20 feet by 20 foot house that they all lived together in. And we spent time with them. Arrow played with their daughters, and so he was having a great time there. And we shared meals together. Didn't understand what each other was saying, but thankfully we had Google Translate, so we're good there. But yeah, it was, we found fellowship there. And so finally Ron met with us to find the area of the property. And it was, he still had difficulty trying to contact the guy. And finally, as we were with Ron, he finally contacted the guy and he said, yes, this is the place to go. And we were like, okay, is it here? Is it here? And we were trying to figure it out over a phone where exactly this place was. And it was several blocks away from the ranch. And there was, it was fenced off, a big giant pasture. And then there was a smaller area that was fenced off. And that was going to be the corral where the horses were going to be trained and stuff. And we're like, okay, we can do this. And so the next day we got to work and we started pulling weeds and stuff. And once we started pulling weeds, we had four posts to figure out where this corral fence was going to be, and we were going to start building this, and it was great. We were excited. And at the end of the day, there was a drunk man who came up and started yelling at us and telling us in his own language, blah, 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 I don't know what he was saying, but he was yelling at us, and he was pointing, and we were like, what? Is it this? Is it this? We tried using Google Translate. No, no, I'm not going to talk. And we tried calling Ron. Finally, Ron didn't pick up, and finally he did pick up. And we were like, okay, this guy is yelling at us. We don't know what he's yelling. And Ron tried talking to him. He's like, no. And finally, another guy came and started yelling at us, and Ron was able to talk to him a little bit, and he said, I know the guy, but he is so slurred right now, and I could smell the alcohol from him, from like me to Gabby, and it was like, this guy is just angry, and he was a drunk, and he was telling to get it off his property, and it was like, okay, so we picked up the posts, and started packing things away. He's like, yes, that's what I wanted. And like, okay. And so we're like, this has to be figured out. And Ron has to figure out, are we supposed to build there or are we supposed to build somewhere else? I don't understand. And I lost my thing. Anyways, let's see. Okay. So coming down to Mexico, I'll get back to that. So coming down to Mexico, I knew I wanted to attend church services. The first Sunday that we were there was Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, and I was praying what service to attend. And I got my answer one day. Ron was there. He was making creamed honey. And in that process, he was talking to me, and somebody called him. It was Pastor Juan, the pastor of Calvary Chapel Granjas, called him and said, hey, somebody gifted us this van that is still registered as an American van, and we need an American driver. Well, I'm an American driver. So Ron asked me to do it, and I was afraid to drive in Mexico. I was happy to be in Carmen, Sudan. It was a little community. I could drive here and there and there. No, now I have to drive to Xochimilco, which is you have to drive through Tijuana to get to Xochimilco. That was a little scary, but yes, I'll do it. So having never driven in Mexico and knowing how Mexico driving is, especially in the city, I was a little bit nervous. But so the plan with the van, with everything, was so Granjas would pick up their own people, and then they were going to drive to Xochimilco. We would meet them there, and then I would drive from Xochimilco to Santa Fe, because all of the church plants around there, Santa Fe, Granjas, Del Prado, Xochimilco, they were all going to meet in Santa Fe and have their service together, which I thought was pretty cool. But I got to Xochimilco, we waited around, finally the van arrived, and we were driving there, and Juan kept telling me to slow down, there's somebody following us, slow down, they're trying to follow us. So I was trying to drive slow, and this guy was really slow, but anyways, we got to Santa Fe, and they got to Santa Fe. Okay, awesome. They had a great church service. During worship, Ron pulled us aside and said, hey, come show us this. So I'm going to have the guys in the back play a little video. And for those of you guys who have been to Mexico last year, you'll see an update for the building that they have that we were working on, and you'll see. Do we have sound? So what we did was we did a little bit of painting. That's all we had time for last year.
Yeah. And then only one of these. Yeah. And this has a sprayer.
Oh, nice.
To clean off, rinse the dishes.
That is nice.
Yeah. So she's
nice. That's the room we painted last year. They knocked down the wall in between.
Wow.
We just tiled it and painted it. The group just got that done.
Nice.
That is so cool.
Bathrooms.
Very nice.
Yes, and the bathrooms. We We haven't put up the divisions yet.
Okay.
But we got the drywall in, and toilets, and things.
Wow, you guys got a lot done in a year.
Yeah, you remember all the, what's the walls for that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got all the walls up. You got the, well, the doors on.
Nice.
Ooh, what's in this one?
Oh, well, here, come in here.
Oh, nice.
Another bathroom.
Your own personal bathroom?
Ah.
Is this a bedroom then? Like a dorm?
I don't know what we're going to do.
Okay.
There was a team here and they used that shower because the other ones aren't ready yet.
Yeah.
So we got some of the bunk beds. We'll put
two chairs and a little table in each one.
Yeah. Okay. Actually, there's three of these.
Three bunk beds,
three bunks.
Wow.
Yeah, so we got the drywall and the roofs. We're about to get the electrical here and the drywall in this.
Oh. And there's that door out.
Yeah.
I love this place.
And then we're doing the men's restroom. Painted.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Painted. And we got the men.
All the lights work.
The lights working. And you've got to get the divisions in.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like this tile. That's really pretty.
We've got all of the drywall pretty much in. In texture, except for that room there. It's all in texture. You've got to do a lot of painting. And so I have a guy that said he'll come. I was at church, and a guy at church asked, in Las Vegas, and he asked me, "What, you know, you plan on tiling that floor?" And I said, "Yeah, I was thinking about it, but, you know, it's really expensive and a lot of time, a lot of work." And he goes, "Well, have you thought about an epoxy floor?" And I said, "Well, actually, I have. I would prefer to do that. It's easier to clean and be a lot easier." And he says, "It'll be a lot cheaper too." And I said, "Yeah, I've thought about it, but, you know, I don't know anyone that does it." And he gets this big smile on his face. And I said, "You do it." And he goes, "Uh-huh." He says, "I'll come down and do it."
Oh, that's nice. Awesome.
Yeah, so he'll pay for the material, everything, come down and he'll.
So then everything will be epoxy.
Everything will be epoxy here on the second floor.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, so, I mean, we have made, I mean, just incredible progress compared to what I thought we would be able to do.
Yeah.
And then only one of these.
Yeah.
And this has the...
be either disciple classes or doing what we do and serving in that capacity. So it's really coming together compared to where we were last year, where we painted a little bit and we weren't able to do much. It was a huge project, and for those who weren't there, like they weren't anywhere near that point. It was just skeleton. The service was great. They had a really interesting children's ministry. I'll talk to you about it later. But then we got ready to leave, and drove with Pastor Juan, and I was with my family, my 5-year-old son in the car, and we're driving back, and we were supposed to go back to Xochimilco, and Juan says, "Oh, turn here," and it's like, "This isn't the way to Xochimilco." "Oh, I'm sorry, I was going to go back to Granjas." And Granjas is a very high crime rate area. And I was like, "Oh, no," like this, and a very scary road going down into it, too. And I'm like, "All right, fine, serve through it." So we went down to Granjas, we unloaded. okay, we're fine. We drove back up, and Juan's just like, oh, yeah, by the way, this isn't the... Grand Haas isn't as dangerous as it used to be. In fact, the most dangerous place is up the hill right here. This is the most dangerous place in Mexico. In fact, just the other day, there was somebody who was shot and killed there, right in that spot. Oh, boy. And I forgot to say, the person behind us, who was following behind us... Grand Haas, they have a large children's ministry, and like 50 or more kids in their children's ministry, and it's like doubles their church size. And couple of the kids there is the son is the children of a cartel member. And so this cartel member said, hey, my kids are in that church. Just leave the church alone, all right? So with that, then his wife one day approached Juan and said, I need to be relocated. My husband is part of the cartel. I need to get out of here. And they were planning on getting her to a safe place. They said, yeah, we can do that, but you're going to be going far, far away. And she said, that's fine. I need to get out of here. Well, as they were preparing for her to get out, she finally just stopped and she said, no, I'll stay. And so she stayed. And then she started going to church, and her kids were going to church. And then all of a sudden, he started coming and showing up to church. And Juan was sharing the gospel with him, and he said that he only had arrived a couple of times, and then now he went to the Easter service, and he was the man who was following us to Easter service, was the cartel member. And so he said while he was there, you know, I shared the gospel, and he's very receptive, but the problem is he doesn't know exactly how to get out of that life. And so they're going to be working with him on that. And so just an update with Grand Haas, be praying that God uses him in a miraculous way with that cartel and all that. It's a really cool testimony. We were able to make it back safely. I didn't crash. We were good. Well, I need to hurry up, right? So at back at Carmenstraden, again, Sarah received Proverbs 22, verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man you shall not go. Meaning, do not continue the corral where it's at. Where are we supposed to put this corral? Right? And so in the meantime, Ron told us there was another plot of land, two lots next to Shori's house, up on a hill, that a man named Russell owned, and he wanted us to fence it off, and he would pay us back for the fencing that we use. So we're like, okay, that's fine. We were going to use electric fence, but we decided to use barbed wire fence. And so the job at Russell's, it was very, very overgrown with brush, and we had to get not only the plants out, but we had to get the weeds, the roots out as well. So we were working on that and trying to get, and it was working uphill and downhill, and then once we got that, we got the posts in uphill, over, downhill, and we live in a flat place. We are not built for going uphill and downhill. So yes, uphill and downhill with barbed wire, once, twice, three times around, smashed my wife with the barbed wire, husband of the year award, right? Like, so yeah, our saw's all burned out trying to cut all this, the weeds, but we got it done, and it looked really nice. And but while we were finishing that up, the Lord showed us to rent. We were ahead with our finances, so rent a excavator and have them go to the ranch property and create a flat ground for the horses. And I've been telling you time and time again that the timing of in Mexico is long. Like, you won't hear from somebody for months. Ron was trying to get a hold of this ex-president guy for months, trying to figure out where to go. I told Ron, hey, what about getting an excavator for a corral? Okay, I'll make a call. Called a guy. 5 minutes later, he's there. Yep, I can do that. Next day, there, done. Like, awesome, that was the Lord. So yeah, we moved a mountain by faith, right? Again, that verse came around, I was like, we literally moved a mountain! Like, that's awesome! By faith. And so once they were gone, though, it was like drilling into rock, and it took us several days to put all the posts, like six posts in. And the sixth post, I think we almost killed ourselves trying to break that rock apart. And finally I called Ron. I'm like, look, Ron, we need to have like a jackhammer or something. Can I buy one? And he's like, oh, we have one. And I'm like, thank you. All right. So later on, I said, okay, we can meet at this gas station. Oh, let's back up a little bit, okay? So while we were doing Russell's land, and we were getting the excavator, digging that out, there was a guy that showed up in the morning, just drugged up. And he said, hey, I'm trying to get off drugs. Somebody just beat me up. I need help. And Sarah has the gift of discerning of spirits, and she's like, he's got to go. And I had Samaritan, bless him and send him on his way, right? And then we called Ron, and he said, yeah, he's not allowed there. While he's on drugs, he's not allowed at the corral, at the place. So we gave him water, food, and sent him on his way with money, dropped him off at a gas station, and it was kind of like, okay, that was a little bit weird, right? Well, then when I went to get the jackhammer, Ron calls me and says, by the way, I want you to babysit a youth who stayed with Shodi and his family before, but he got back on drugs, and then he was caught in armed robbery and sent to jail, and he's back off drugs. Would you babysit this kid? He's like 18 years old. And I was like, we just dealt with this the other day. I don't want to put my family in danger. And Ron's like, it's a completely different situation. And I remember Seth before saying in ministry with Ron, it's like, whatever he tells you to do, serve through it, do it. Don't. And so it's like, all right, I'm not going to tell him no. So we did it. I went and I got the youth. I got the jackhammer, and he said he is to work with you, eat with you, be with you guys, and kind of come alongside with you. And so we did. And the moment that Arrow saw, his name was Obed, or Osman, either way, Osman. And Arrow's just like, I love Obed. And I'm like, oh, okay. Cool. So they played around a lot together. It was kind of cute. But anyways, so then Obed was working with us. But the first night I gave him a Spanish Bible. I was like, read this. He's like, I've read it before. And I'm like, okay, read the New Testament, read Proverbs, read Psalms. And I, with translation, I said that the Bible will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from the Bible. You need to stay in this Bible. And he received it and stuff. So we continued the work in the corral, and now we have the jackhammer, and then Shodi and his brother William were helping, and Obed sometimes helped. And one day, Obed, during lunch, he decided he wasn't going to help, and he was going to watch movies with Shodi's kids. And so that night, I'm like, well, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't be allowed to eat. Everybody, you want to get tacos? Not you. Got loaded up the truck, went to get tacos, came back, and then Shodi's two boys, and then Obed helped more after that. So we got the food is a great motivator, right? So the second Sunday that we were there, we went to a place, Pueblos Mágicos, and so that church, a little update on that. That church doesn't have a pastor. The pastor was threatened by the cartel, and he ran away and disappeared. And so while we were there, I asked the speaker, who they have a rotation from Santa Fe, who's going to be speaking in Pueblos Mágicos, and he said, well, they found the pastor and his family, and they're okay. So praise the Lord on that. Answered prayer. And the man was wanting to come back to Pueblos Mágicos. They don't know if he wants a pastor or not, but they said they need a pastor. So we were praying for that. Let's see. The next week, after the Pueblos Mágicos, we finished the pastor at Russell's. And at this time, also a sister from Fargo sent Sarah a message saying, basically saying you're going to be worshiping in Spanish. She's like, I don't know what that means. And so I was like, okay. We kept that in the back burner. But again, let's see, I already shared all of that. So then the next week, we went to Pueblos Mágicos again, and they said, we didn't really prepare for worship. Could you do worship, Sarah? And she's like, yeah, sure. So she was excited, and she went up there, and okay, she was a little nervous about everything. And that's the thing with the Lord. It's like the Lord shows you the next step, and it's like, oh, are you sure, Lord? And then you do it, and he's like, oh, okay, yeah, totally was awesome. And so then the Lord, she was able to worship in Spanish. It wasn't much, but she worshiped, and we worshiped together in that congregation. And it was awesome just seeing the gifts of the Holy Spirit being used, walking by faith, and then that faith being answered, and just how God does every single step. Let's see. So it was at this time the Lord was showing us how many things this next week, showing us how many things we needed to get done. We had 4 more days of work. Right? It was Thursday. We had to meet Ron Friday, and we were going to be gone all day. And then Sunday was Mother's Day service. And then Monday we had a work day. And then Tuesday we were packing up and leaving Wednesday, right? So we had like 4 full days of work. And we had, we barely got the corral wood up and the posts set. And we had to put in a shelter. We were going to, Sarah had a mural that she was going to paint. We had to put up the electrical. We were going to paint the posts, and we were also going to go back to Russell's place and do electrical around that too. And it was like, we have only a couple days left, and it took us so much time to get this far, and we have, like, we're at the halfway point here. We don't have much time, and I was freaking out. And Sarah's like, no, we're supposed to paint these posts, I believe, from the Lord. And I'm like, I don't know how that's going to happen, right? Well, that Friday we went, like I said, with Ron, and we went into America, and he said, oh, by the way, guys, Sunday I want you guys to prepare the food for the Mother's Day and then have that ready for them. And I'm like, yes, all right. Got so much time in the world. We are not exactly foodie people either. So preparing this as a family, it was tense. But you know, we spent the day with Ron. That was great. We got to talk to Ron. He showed us all the vision he had for Carmen Cerdan. And we were just blown away by the vision that he has and the things that he's planning, and just a great day of fellowship. And we came back, and the next day I went, it was a hot day, so we kind of worked on the corral until we got too warm. Sarah went to paint on the mural, and then I went to get groceries. I came back, and when I came back, that was probably the most intense night of the trip. Just very fleshly, very carnal, but once we got through that, it was a breeze. It was like the Lord just met us, and it was like, okay, we're going to do this. And we served. There was a little bit of a tense moment. So we went to Xochimilco for the Mother's Day thing, and we went with Obed and then Shodi's 2 boys and then Arrow and my wife. So 5 people in the truck, and we went, and we served together, and we made a very amazing, if I don't say so myself, right? Like, so a few weeks earlier we cooked spaghetti for Shodi and his family, and they loved the spaghetti, and we also made garlic bread, and they loved the garlic bread. And so I'm like, all right, let's do this for the Mother's Day thing, but let's step it up a couple notches and make this really nice meal. And they loved it, and it was Again, the Lord met us. We thought we weren't going to be able to do this. The Lord met us, and we did it without any stress. We came back Monday. We got most of the rest of the work done. We got we went to get the paint, and then Tuesday we painted. We got the electric done. We got the mural done. We did. We got the covering done. No stress involved. It was like just boom, 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 boom. All these things that I was stressing about, and then God threw more stuff on, and it was like it was nothing. It was like, wow, this is awesome, beyond what I could even imagine what the Lord could do. And then that the final night, we took and we had a big pizza party with Shodi and his family and his household, watched a movie, and ate popcorn. Maybe that was two nights before we left, because then we ate popcorn the last night. And then we were prayed for and sent away with that Wednesday. So it was like we went down there, and I told Shorty this when we got to when we were getting the paint. I said, he's like looking at the corral, and he's like, wow, that's really nice. And I told him that we came down here to work on a fence, but the Lord said it was the fruit of the Holy Spirit of why we were there. And I said, your family, your brother, Obed, Ron, all the churches around us, that is what we came for, to love upon the people and the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which would last. And the God does that. The fruit of the Holy Spirit lasts. That corral, guess what? After we were done building the corral, Sarah, was that corral permanent or temporary? Temporary. All that work, and Ron's like, that's great, it's temporary. There's a building that's going to go there. We knew that actually when we were planning this, too. We knew that beforehand, but it was like the work itself isn't the work, right? It's the call that God puts upon you, and it's like, how can I not go? I hear this call. There's nobody there stepping up to do this. There's nobody even being called to do this. How can I not go? What am I going to miss out if I don't go? And then to watch the fruit of the Holy Spirit work, walking by faith, hoping that this will bear fruit, and then that love that comes, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so that is the trip that we went to in Mexico, and we made it back. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, for your mercy, and for your love. We thank you for the work that that lasts, that fruit of the Holy Spirit that lasts all eternity, Lord. We thank you for the call that you put upon our lives to walk by faith in the small things and even in the major things, Lord. And in the ministry, Lord, every single moment, Lord, we walk by faith, not by sight. And we thank you and praise you for this wonderful walk that we get with you, that we get to see your grace, your power, your might, and just be amazed at the things that you do. And we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.